इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
हाय एंड वेलकम बैक टू इतिहास विद मी स्नेहा ऑन दिस स्पेशल सेगमेंट कॉल्ड द फाइव ईयर फेस्टिवल। इन आवर लास्ट एपिसोड वी लुक्ड एट वन ऑफ द स्टॉर्मीएस्ट डेकेड्स इन द सोशियो पॉलिटिकल डोमेन ऑफ इंडिया, द 70s। The unrest, the sudden emergency, the excesses during that emergency, and then the fresh elections of 1977, which the Janata government won and Morarji Desai became the first ever non-Congress Prime Minister of India. In this episode, we look at the fight for the 7th Lok Sabha, that's the general elections of 1980. So Morarji Desai became the Prime Minister in 1977. Was it an obvious or a straightforward decision? Well, no. We must understand that unlike Congress, the Janata Party was not a single party. It was a coalition of multiple parties who all had their own agenda and they were drastically different from each other. I mean, can we imagine the socialists and the Janasangh, who traced their roots to RSS, to be in the same party? But that was the case. And the only common factor that brought these polar opposites together in this bizarre combination was their dislike of Indira Gandhi and Congress. So as long as they had to unite in fighting against her, they did. But once that got over, she lost the elections and they had to form a government, there was some serious bickering that started happening. The first question was, obviously, who would be the Prime Minister? It was decided that the two senior-most members of the opposition, Acharya J.B. Kriplani and Jayaprakash Narayan, would decide the final name. They zeroed in on Morarji Desai, which was a fair choice considering his great experience in administration, his seniority and his spotless personal record. But that is not how some others viewed it. So supporters of both Chaudhary Charan Singh and Babu Jagjeevan Ram thought that their respective leaders should be the prime ministers. Ultimately, they were given prestigious portfolios like defense and home. Of course, it's not that the Janata government did not do any good and all their time was spent in one-upmanship. The foreign policy had a remarkable shift. India sought to improve relations with her neighbors. Even the repairing of constitution was done in this regime. A lot of haphazard and random provisions that had been made during emergency were revoked. The parliament and the state assembly's term went back to 5 years, which was changed to 6 during emergency. It also made the publication of parliamentary and assembly proceedings mandatory and made the promulgation of emergency much more difficult than what it had been. It was as such hard to find consensus on too many points. But since the cabinet was strongly united on their anti-Indira stand, they went for her full throttle. A number of inquiry commissions were set up. Some inquired into the corruption by the Congress chief ministers. One looked into her son Sanjay's Maruti Udyog and the famous Shah Commission, which was set up to punish those guilty of excesses in emergency, actually called her for trial and for testifying for 3 times. Not just that, in October 1977, the Home Ministry had also arrested Mrs. Gandhi and kept her in custody for a single night. Unfortunately for them, this backfired as Mrs. Gandhi's image was rather elevated and she started giving strong anti-Janata speeches after this. But what is actually considered as a comeback for her is her visit to Belchi. She reached a village called Belchi in Bihar to console the families of Dalits who were killed by upper caste mob. So she flew to Patna, then rode in a jeep, then on a tractor, and when the mud was too deep, on an elephant. This was a masterstroke because this not only brought forward her concern for the poor, which was in line with her prior image, but also highlighted the apparent apathy of the Janata government. In July 1979, the socialist faction chose to walk out on the government, which resulted in the fall of the government and Morarji's resignation. Another faction stood with Jagjeevan Ram, but Chaudhary Charan Singh, the powerful farmer leader who had ambitions of becoming the PM himself, was, let's say, wooed by the Congress, and in an extremely opportunistic act, he formed an alliance with Indira, who was his erstwhile enemy. He claimed majority only with his 64 seats. How? Because the Congress gave him support from outside. He was sworn in as the PM in the last week of July 1979. He even gave the prime ministerial address on the Independence Day. And then, within a month, Congress withdrew their support, causing the president to announce the fresh elections. To give a slight overview of what was happening in India around that time, the political landscape was generally becoming more varied. As we discussed in one of the previous episodes, the first 20 years, say till 1967, were absolutely Congress-centric. But then, alternatives started emerging. People realized that they have options. So in the late 70s, two regional parties came to power in their respective states. That is the AIADMK in Tamil Nadu and the communists in West Bengal. Socially speaking, the feminist movement and the environmental movement both started in this decade. The news media had also changed considerably after the emergency and had a fresh whiff of life with increasing readership. As the elections marked the end of this stormy decade, they also marked the end of an ideology in Indian politics. You know, earlier elections were fought on issues, ideologies, like secularism or non-alignment movement. This election, when Mrs. Gandhi campaigned, she did not speak of Garibi Hatao, but she talked about her power to rule well. And Janata government was rather helping her to talk about it, since their government was in doldrums. The basic amenities were in shortage, causing more unrest in the common masses. The elections in January 1980 were won by Congress in a clean sweep. Indira's party won 353 seats and she came back to power with a thumping majority. This, and this is an important point, may not mean that the masses forgot emergency, but they were more affected by the poorly functioning Janata government that was in disarray. On a parting note, two more things. In 1979, Jayaprakash Narayan died. JP, who was a revered personality for many, had in fact catalyzed this opposition movement. Unfortunately, he must have died a broken man on some level, as he saw how his proteges resorted to inside clashes, ego battles, one-upmanship, selfish and extreme opportunistic behavior. The Janata experiment did not work totally due to the men who worked in that. And secondly, the failure of this experiment also showed that the common man probably did not care about the theoretical death of democracy as much as the practical difficulties in his daily life, which he showed through the ballot. So that is all for now, folks. We discuss the next election of 1984 in the upcoming episode. So keep listening, stay tuned.